You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. We're at the back table at The Comedy Cellar. My name is Noam Dorman. I'm here with Dan Natterman, who was back. You were on a cruise ship last week. Where were you, Dan?
That's correct. I was cruising the Caribbean.
Yeah, and our special guest, Mr. Jim Florentine, and our producer, Steve Calabria, is at the table. I don't know, before we go,
do you have anything
about the cruise? Usually you have a story about the cruise.
No, well, I don't usually have a story about the cruise.
Were you on a romantic cruise
I was on a working cruise. But it did give me a little bit of... we were talking... Jim, I don't know if you know this, but the Comedy Cellar is opening up a Vegas room.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's coming in the summer.
It's not a sure thing yet, then.
Well, 99% sure.
No, I wouldn't. Okay, let's say 80. Let's say 75% sure.
Wow, I didn't know it was that low. I thought it was a little bit higher than that. But I think I'm going to say something that might knock that up a little bit. Noam was having some misgivings about it. But, you know, this cruise this week kind of gave me renewed optimism in the Vegas room because my material was really, really working very, very well. Even the... Well, I'm just saying, so that the New York Comedy Cellar type shit that I do here was working for regular folk on the cruise, which is very much the kind of audience you might find in Vegas. Therefore,
yes,
I do believe that the Vegas audience will respond to the Comedy Cellar comedians.
Usually when your material works on a cruise, that means it's not good.
It means you're a hack.
Well, now hold on, Jim. But this is the same material I do here that has been praised by But my point is that if you present the people on the cruise, see, the notion is that cruise people, you got to feed them the hacky shit, which will work, by the way. But the good shit will work, too. You know, maybe not for all of them, but for enough of them.
I think, in general, many mistakes have been made by the clever people in charge of show business by thinking that this or that particular brand of humor wouldn't play to a wider audience. I mean, they were sure that Seinfeld was too Jewish. And, you know, I mean, funny is funny, Dan. And everybody watches the same TV shows and sees the same comedians. And why wouldn't they laugh at you on a cruise just like they laugh at you on America's Got Talent? Or they laugh at you at the Comedy Cellar. Are people in New York so much more sophisticated? That's kind of what...
Well, and also the New York audiences are from elsewhere, although it's a certain subset of, you know, elsewhere. But so
now Jim likes to talk about heavy metal. I don't know how that's going
to
play.
Well, we'll get to heavy.
I was on a heavy metal cruise recently, but...
Wait, did
you have to be clean on the cruise?
The Royal Caribbean, the three ships they have that have comedy clubs on board the ship, and you can say whatever the hell you want. I wouldn't push it too far. I wouldn't necessarily.
Well, you're not dirty by nature.
Too explicit, but you know, I went as far as doing the uncle joke.
The crowd typically older?
No, mixed bag. Mixed bag.
No kids. No kids.
Well,
in the crowd.
The club is 18 years and older. That's the rule for the club. For the comedy club on the ship.
Any ladies on the cruise, Dan?
There are ladies on the cruise, but most of them, well, the thing about these cruises, there's not a lot of, like, you know, single ladies. It's either young girls with their parents or couples. So if you want to get laid on these ships, you have to hit the crew. Okay.
It's awesome. They're
you
like,
have to hit the
like
crew, and you have to hit them hard.
They're like Filipino and...
There are Filipinos, but then it's very... Like, the Filipinos are like the bartending staff, but then if you get into, like, the dancers and the you know
who was the famous French financier who tried to bang the maid and remember like
The World Bank guy.
Yeah, the World Bank.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
How old are you, Dan?
That was DSK. That was Dominic Strauss-Kahn. Yeah.
How old are you?
Well, you never ask a gentleman how old he is. I'm 47.
Can I ask you how old?
Well,
you are?
Who's the gentleman here?
do you say how old you are?
I'm 52.
52. So we're all about the same age. Don't you find a real waning sex drive as you hit 45 and above? Do you find that at all? Oh, you're single again now?
Yeah, I'm single again, so it's come back.
You're revitalized.
Yeah. When it's something new, it comes back.
It's infuriating to me. It's just like...
You're probably a little low on testosterone.
Dude, why you say that?
I'm just saying, no, because... So I think that's where it's coming from. You might have to get some testosterone cream or something for that.
I don't know.
As you get older, though, the testosterone goes lower, and that loses your sex drive as a guy. So sometimes you need it like a supplement.
Also, married men have lower testosterone than single men. That's a fact.
probably.
I do.
Jewish men. Well, go ahead.
I have a lower sex drive, but I still have a very high self-esteem drive. I need to be, I still need as much as I ever did to be, you know, to be desired.
I mean, how much would you pay for a drug to give you back what you had when you were like in, not 17, 25? Like, if I could just have that.
You want that? Why do you want that?
It was just, it was a reason to get up in the morning. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the sex drive. But plus, you could 2-3 hours sleep. You could function on no problem, get up, go to work, and not be exhausted all the time.
Well, that certainly you would want back. But as far as the sex drive, Noam, you don't want that sex drive.
No, I do. I do want that.
Because, unless it's for your wife, but if you have that sex drive, but it's not, you know, aimed toward Juanita, then you'd be in quite a bit of trouble, I would imagine.
Yeah, but the problem is when you're married, you kind of still have that sex drive for everybody but your wife. So it's better.
So you want it in, you want to increase that.
Torture. No, I'm just saying it's
you didn't call me, honey. I assume that honey was directed at
Juanita. I don't know how much getting older occupies your guys' minds, but like I'm really thinking a lot about getting older and just reminders everywhere of getting older. It's really been upsetting me lately.
Is that the biggest thing that you miss?
What?
The sex drive and just the ability and willingness to go out carousing.
No, I was never a big carouser. I just miss, I don't know, just that.
You're
feeling.
Better off without it if you're trying to keep your marriage together, is I think what I.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. And also, I think part of the reason I think about it all the time is because I have kids. I started late. You have a son.
Yeah, I have a 6-year-old, yeah.
And so you started a little bit late, not as late as I did, and infuriates me now that I started so late because I keep thinking of how old I'm going to be and what I'm going to miss with my kids, and that I think that's what starts the thought about. So it's not just base concerns.
And you have two, right?
I have two, and a third on the way.
And it's just pure chaos.
Yeah.
In there, so the sex is, you know, that's like 20th on the list when you got all that shit going on. So then you feel like, oh man, what am I?
It's not on my wife's list. It's not.
Yeah, and there's hardly any excitement when you got little kids running around and all this, and there's not really, hey, let's go fuck. Let's go get a hotel room for the weekend. Let's go out drink and stay out till 3-4 in the morning. That just doesn't happen anymore. Very rare.
Yeah, maybe she'll do something she's never done before.
Jim told me something very interesting before the show. I don't think he minds if I bring it up. He said he masturbated for the first time. Was it 21?
I'd rather you not bring that up. That's very personal. Yeah, first time was 21.
Yeah, well, that's insane, right?
The first time I had an orgasm was a month before I was 18 years.
Well, then, so you were with a woman.
I had sex with her, yeah. That was my first orgasm.
Oh, so you had sex before you ever masturbated.
Yeah.
Well, that's Jersey shit right there.
Yeah, well, I grew up strict Catholic, man. They pound that shit in your head. You really, you know.
But you had sex, though.
There was seven of us, so there was, you know, I was in a room with three other brothers, so it was tough to, you know.
I masturbate silently in bed with my wife. She doesn't even know. You couldn't masturbate with her.
I couldn't perfect it at that early age, you know. I was staring at my Farrah Fawcett poster
on
the wall.
Well, so you had all this buildup in your system. You couldn't get it out.
Yeah, well, that's why I was an angry kid and just, you know, caused a lot of destruction.
That's an amazing story because you just think it's irresistible. Like, you just find yourself.
Well, it comes out anyway, does it not, in what's scientifically termed nocturnal emission? Which, by the way, I never had one of those because I took care of it, you know. Well, I was in the diurnal, you know, emissions of waking thing. Anyway.
Well, how old were you when you first did it?
Masturbation? I was masturbating to Nellie Olson in the 70s.
How old was that? I was 11.
And
11.
Yeah, I remember it.
I didn't know it was called masturbation.
Maybe 10.
And I, you know, nothing came out.
Yeah, I had that too.
But I would do that, yeah. I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was my own thing that I kind of came up with.
The first time I did it, I felt really guilty too. I did it when I was drunk in the middle of the night. In the morning, I felt like shit, like the biggest piece of shit. I can't believe I did that. But then, like 3 days later, I got over it. And then I said within a week, I had bursitis in my arm. I had to go to the doctor, and I had my arm in a sling. I missed 2 softball games.
He was dry heaving out of his...
It's amazing.
I couldn't stop.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from Catholic people, that, you know, all this Catholic guilt that I guess I just wasn't aware of, but that does is a real thing.
Catholic guilt is nothing compared to Islamic guilt, apparently, but it's high up there. People do deal with it. I mean, I don't know. Jews don't care about masturbating, right? We're allowed. Nobody tells us not to masturbate.
Well, they don't tell you not to do it, but I do recall my father once catching me at it and saying, "Don't do that," you know, in sort of a harsh tone.
Really?
Yeah.
Were your pants around your ankles?
No, I was just in the car. He had gone out. Your parents leave you in the car.
In the front seat next to him?
No, he had left the car to do whatever he had to do, post office.
And you doing it in the car?
I was touching it in the car, yeah.
You had it out?
I believe so, yeah.
Was there a schoolyard nearby?
Probably, but that's not relevant. I mean, there's a lot of, Stanford has a lot of schools in it.
Was this the good car? Your family has two cars.
Nothing, one for the. I don't recall that.
Was it the Caddy?
We didn't have a Caddy. Your choice was a Pinto or a Chevy Citation.
So your dad came back to the car, caught you, and what did he say?
He just said, "Hey, you shouldn't do that."
You know Dave Juskow?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Dave, how's it going, man? We do have an extra chair and an extra mic.
Well, that's a good dad. You shouldn't do that. And then he left it at that.
He left it at that. What he should have said is, "This is something that we do privately." it's a wonderful, perfectly natural thing to do,
Were you not aware it was something to do privately?
I wasn't private.
I know, but I mean, you knew it was something you were supposed to do privately.
I was in private.
You succumbed.
I was in private.
You were in private. So just to bring you up to speed, Jim didn't masturbate until he was 18.
21.
I know. You know this. Oh. And Dan got caught masturbating in his car by his father.
I haven't had sex in such a long time. I now have dreams about finding a place to masturbate. I used to have dreams about sex.
I've had wet dreams about masturbating.
You have?
And like I had a wet dream one time about Diana Ross, too, in high school.
And that's a little awkward. I never had dreams about black girls until later.
Why is that?
I don't know. From Jersey, I guess.
Well, you're both from Jersey. Is that a now, Jim? Is that a Jersey accent that you have? Because it's very gravelly. It's a lot like Artie Lang speaks like you do with a gravel.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I thought maybe
my dad sounded like this. I don't know. I think it just the voice runs in the family. But yeah, it could be probably Jersey.
And Var's a little gravelly. So I thought maybe the Jersey is a Jersey
not.
Gravel.
Norton's isn't gravel.
Springsteen?
There's a southern draw on the Jersey gravel, maybe.
Springsteen's got the gravel,
he's got
a
gravel.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like in Boston where like certain people have the Boston accent, but some of the other people don't have the Boston accent. Could be a matter of neighborhood.
I don't know if anyone wants to talk about it, but it's been on my mind.
Bill O'Reilly, I suggest we put that on hold.
Okay.
Because I would like to get, unless you insist on it.
I really want to talk about this sexual harassment with Bill O'Reilly.
I know you do, but it's just,
only the biggest story of the day, but go ahead, Dan. I'm sure I'm the only one. Go ahead. Talk about masturbating. Go ahead.
this brings us, Noam and I have very different visions for the podcast. Noam wants it to be Bill Maher. Bill Maher already exists. He does it pretty well.
Bill Maher.
I want it to be about the lives of the comics and the life of the comedy seller and things that comics can really talk about in a way that others cannot. The Bill O'Reilly thing, I don't know. Maybe unless it's really in Jim's wheelhouse and in Juskow's wheelhouse, O'Reilly.
Juskow works in an office quite often with females.
That's true. In fact, I just got in trouble today.
Uh-huh.
Hot girl just come. She was dressed really provocatively. And I go,
how was she dressed?
She was dressed in a short skirt and boots, and she knows I have a crush on her anyway.
Cleavage?
Definitely cleavage. She's, Latino.
She's not Latino.
How short was the skirt?
It was like above the knee, but, with the boots, it was working. It was
big,
working.
Latina, healthy butt, robust.
No, she's really pretty.
Dan's got his dick out right now.
And I said, wow, you look terrific. And I was right in front of her boss. And he goes, hey, can't say that. Like, he was really angry. This just happened hours ago.
Yeah.
And he was really angry. Well, and then, of course, later, he was like, I had to say that, right?
No, careful.
It happens all the time.
It's a big problem right now.
The guys close the door, and they're like, listen, then they say much worse things than I just said to that girl. Plus, that girl was just like, thank you. You can't say anything.
Yeah, Latina girls are not really that sensitive about that stuff.
Pretty sure she was. I mean, I think that outfit garners a reaction, right? I think that's why you wear it, right? I don't think it was like office appropriate.
Well, I mean, you weren't creepy about it, were you?
No. Who knows at this point?
Were you licking your lips when you said it?
No.
I don't know why I think the Latina girls are more easygoing about it, but I just feel like it's usually uptight white girls who are really looking. They're just like a spring coiled, ready to fucking find somebody who says something Unless they like the guy, in which case anything goes.
I think the Latino women, the Latino men are used to just doing that to women. They just shrug it off like, ah, whatever, he's just being an idiot. When they're walking down the street, white guys usually don't do that. They're more discreet about it.
Yeah.
They won't yell out. They'll just look and
but that's why salivate. That's how hot she was dressed. It threw me off. Oh, I was like, wow.
There was a Latina girl. Were you here last Friday night dancing in front of the band?
No.
Oh, my God.
Damn it. Why do we always miss the good stuff?
Sizzling hot. Anyway,
by the way, Jessica's a huge fan, not just a frequent podcast guest, but a huge fan of the podcast.
I am.
And so
I love listening
I'd like to,
it. To
give hear his perspective on the direction we should take.
Oh, but don't talk about Bill O'Reilly. It's way too interesting right. And on everybody's mind.
Well,
go ahead.
Obviously, the juxtaposition between the two of you is what makes the podcast great. So it's fun. It's great talking about comedy and The Cellar and all the comics and our friends. And then it's fun to talk about pods. It's good to mix it up.
But I feel no one gets too deep, deep, deep. And as I said, Bill Maher already exists. We have to do our own thing.
Okay, this is what I think. I'm going to drop it.
Yeah,
I think that the what you're describing, this new kind of world where we're not sure what we can say to people we work with anymore, what's sexual harassment, what is courtship, what is, like, we're all flying blind. And there's a new wrinkle now with O'Reilly that even if you settle something out of court, which we all know, people settle just to be rid of something, you know? Like Billy Joel settled that plagiarism case, or he didn't plagiarize it. He just wanted to be rid of it. Now that even becomes evidence that can be used to end your career.
Yeah.
But how is this new? You recall Clarence Thomas was at 30, almost 30 years ago now, 25, 30 years ago, with the Coke comment.
But he was confirmed.
Well, he might, I don't know if he would or we, but it was a big deal. Is the thing.
Yes.
I don't know. You say that this is something new. We're flying blind as though this is a very recent phenomenon.
Well, like his, Juskow's boss is obviously, why did he say that? Because he's like, this is a different universe.
He told
now.
Me, he said, I don't want to lose my job. I got kids.
But
stuff.
I think it
like,
could have happened
honest.
20 years ago as
no,
well.
No, it didn't happen 20 years ago.
No, nobody, I mean, you were allowed to say a girl looks pretty at the office 20 years ago.
Well, you were allowed to bang a waitress 20 years ago.
You can still bang a waitress. No one's stopping you except
very
your own.
Very carefully.
Except your
bang
own.
Bang a cocktail waitresses.
Two or three at a time.
My friend worked at MTV back in the 90s, and he just said everybody, including bosses, everybody was banging each other. It was never a problem. They'd all go out drinking afterwards, all hook up, and there was never an issue anywhere with anyone with sexual harassment. That's
well,
just what
I,
you
I
did
think that
back
probably
then.
Goes on today, too, in certain young people, like here at the Comedy Cellar. I mean, there's many, many... they're all fucking here too. You know, the wait staff, the bar staff, the comics.
What?
Yes.
Everybody but Juskow.
you know, so that happens in certain contexts. I think.
Nobody was supposed to tell Juskow. Don't you know the rules?
Son of a.
I think that, you know, at a law firm 20 years ago, it would have been similar. It would have been a similarly.
Let me tell you something. I was a summer associate.
I've been at the law firm 20 years.
I was a summer associate at a law firm. And I had a huge crush on this Indian receptionist named Davina. And I spent half my time just at the reception desk hitting on this receptionist. And all the party, it was the joke of the whole law firm. Everybody was just making fun of it. It didn't occur to anybody that I was doing anything that might get anybody in trouble.
Right.
Like, nobody told me to back off. It was like, yeah, he's trying to bang Davina. It was not an issue.
So it ever happened?
Yeah.
Nice.
I slept with the receptionist at my last job.
I wore down.
Well, okay, you slept with the receptionist at your last job.
I didn't
which
actually
was,
have intercourse with her,
when?
In case she's listening. Go ahead.
Was, like, was she a temp?
20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
No, she's still there.
Well,
looks okay.
I assume there's plenty of workplace sex happening.
And one man's courtship is, I mean, like, you know, you flirt with a girl, and if she likes you, it's fine.
Well, that's what O'Reilly should have been doing instead of being bossy and just, like, you know, be jerking off on the phone, talking to this woman. And he's breathing heavy and saying shit to him. He should have flirted with her and see if she's not into it, then you move on to the next girl. You find somebody that's going to cheat and has no problem hooking up with you, maybe advance a career. But he did it absolutely the wrong way. He was just a scumbag about it, just going, hey, I'm Bill O'Reilly, fuck me. Oh, really? I'm going to ruin your career.
Yeah, he
basically.
Did it in a, yeah,
and that, that would not have flown 20 years ago either.
He could easily got those young girls at Fox. I'm in that building when we used to do Red Eye and stuff like that. There's all hot chicks in there. A million of them would have slept with him too if he would have just done it the right way.
A million of them would have come to him without him even asking. They would have. They would have made their made themselves available.
I bought a paralegal from the office here last 2 weeks ago. She's 22, you know. But it's all creepy. Like, but I said, do you want to go out with me? Like, I just was nice about it, and I just said, do you want to come with me down the village, whatever. And she goes, sure. And I'm like, you do? Like, I was even surprised. She said yes. And then she told me not to tell anybody at the office. But, I mean, no podcast, who cares?
She said not to tell anybody at the office? Because that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. She
that said, means she might like you.
And she came over.
To
nothing
your house?
Happened. Yeah. Yeah, she slept over.
Really? Well, Dave Juska has a way with women, not necessarily sexual, but he has a way of just being pals with every
woman. Awesome.
I mean, he hangs around with a lot of beautiful women. That's just always been his thing.
Can I say...
Well, it used to be better.
I don't mean to imply that the stuff that... I agree with Jim. I mean, in so many things you find that if you just have some class about you, you can get away with things. I mean, O'Reilly, what he did was have absolutely no class, and that's what came back to bite him. I think that I've, and most people I know, avoided any of these issues because I've had relationships with people who work for me because I was never a lech. You know?
That's what I'm saying. I think with this girl, I called women and masturbated on the phone.
I was sure they would be okay with it before. Who hasn't done that?
I've never done that. I don't know. But like with this girl, like we talk for a while. Sometimes we talk in the office, or we went out for lunch once, and then it seemed like it would be okay. You know, like we're like work, like you said, you're just
but
polite about it.
But there's something about Dave Juskow that women feel unthreatened, right?
I think it has something to do with them hating their fathers, I guess.
No, but you have a lot of female friends that you never laid a glove on.
That's true.
Is that true or false?
It's true.
Okay, so, that's kind of what you do.
I've always been one of the girls.
This is my last question about O'Reilly to ask you guys, and I'm done with it unless it comes up naturally. Nothing that bothers me. So, okay, O'Reilly calls up the girl, whatever it is, and he's breathing heavy and masturbating on the phone. And she comes and goes, he masturbated on the phone, and I need $5 million. That's the only way I'll ever be right again is to have $5 million. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, people, how many times have women we know seen guys jerking off on the subway? And they come in, I mean, it's not, all right, it's different. He works with them. But
it might be nice to have a woman's opinion on the matter.
$5 million?
Or even a guy. A girl going on a first date with a guy and he just whips his dick out, like, and she's like, no, what are you doing? You know, like guys do that all the time. Yeah. They'll just whip it out. She's like, no, I'm not. I don't want to touch it. I barely know you. So she's not getting anything from that guy.
Right.
So.
Well, you don't whip your dick out unless you feel like.
I don't know. Do you ever talk about, what you told me in Atlantic City, like how you handle stuff?
What did I say?
I don't want to say if you don't want to.
I don't care.
I mean, you're very good about making sure that doesn't happen to you.
Oh, well, no, you just, you got to be protected because you don't know.
Right.
There's a lot of, girls out there that, might cry something, got a boyfriend or a husband and they don't tell you about them and then they get caught and then they blame, I didn't want to do it. So I just always get a confirmation text back if there's something sexual that goes down.
It's really smart.
Afterwards, just saying, oh man, so how many orgasms did you have? Like two or three? Like whatever we took. And she's like, I had three. I'm like, man, I thought you only had two. She goes, no, I had three. I go, oh man, next time I'd like to give you four. She's like, oh, that'd be amazing. So you get all that going back. So if anything goes down, I have cop friends that say like 3 out of 10 women that come in and say they got sexually assaulted or raped or whatever are lying because their boyfriends or they felt guilty in the morning and they go, so what they usually do. My confidence, what they do is the girl will come in. He goes, okay, right now we're going to call the guy. Without her even getting contact, call him right now. And we're listening and start yelling at him that you didn't want to do that last night. Because if she's lying, the guy's going to go. So half the time the guy's like, why'd you do that to me? And he's like, what are you talking about? I didn't want to do that last night. The cops are listening. He's like, what are you talking about? We just went for breakfast and we're going to meet up later. Yeah. At like 6 o'clock, we're going to go out again. And he's like, then they're like, all right, you still want to pursue this? No. And then they leave.
That
happens a lot.
That's a very politically incorrect fact, but I've heard it before, that rape is the most often falsely reported crime.
Yeah.
Which you really, I'm not saying it's true, because people get so upset about this. I've just read that. I don't know that it's true.
Yeah, no, there are some cases, absolutely, where girls will they have a boyfriend, a husband, or I just feel like shit in the morning, or the guy treated him like shit. Like, supposedly the whole Tyson case was he threw Desiree Washington at a hotel. She was 18 years old. She didn't know where she was. And he just said, get the fuck out. And he's like, where am I going? Just get the fuck out. And just didn't even call her a cab. She
lack of class.
Yeah, and she probably wasn't going to do it. That was a story that came out later, that he just threw her out, didn't even walk her downstairs, didn't even get her a car. She's 18 years old. In Indianapolis for the first time, because she was there for the beauty contest. She had nowhere it was going. It just felt like a used piece of shit, and that's when all the stuff went down. So,
That was terrible. That was really a travesty of justice. Mike Tyson going to jail. I mean, I thought.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he might have done it, but I don't know how they could prove that he did it. Like, by this reasonable doubt. I mean, beyond any doubt.
You're always going to lose as a man. That's why Jim's thing is very smart.
Well, you never know. You never look. If someone's going to hook up with you the first night, or you're in a town somewhere and they're gonna sleep with you, that's not normal. That's not a normal girl. Normal girls don't do that. So you gotta put that in the equation that this chick is going to be a little crazy, and who knows what's going
to
happen.
But you can text them, I'm sorry to make you come.
I'm sorry nothing happened. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'll try harder next time.
I'm sorry I fell asleep last night.
I would like to talk some about the a story I find fascinating.
Yeah, go ahead. I support you. Whatever you want to talk about.
Okay,
I'm not
which
like
is
you.
The United Airlines catastrophe. Well, catastrophe for United Airlines anyway. Of the Dr. Dow getting thrown off the plane, and I assume everyone's familiar with that story.
Yes. Yeah, wasn't he a troublemaker though?
Well, it's come to light that the guy was a bit of a creeper himself.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's going to have any relevance in terms of his lawsuit.
I fly United, so I like it. So now they're going to treat us better. That's the way I look at it.
They're
not going anywhere. The stock went down. People are going to start buying it again. They're still going to charge a ton to fly, and they're such a huge airline. Nothing's going to happen to them. They're just going to have to change some policies where they're not going to be able to just drag people off a flight.
I agree.
What I think Dow is going to get, this sort of reminds me a bit of the Artie Fuqua, Tracy Morgan Walmart crash, in that this is the perfect, everything had to come together just right for them to get the huge payout that they got. And in this case, with Dr. Dow, you have, he was already on the plane, he was injured just enough, you know. He wasn't. First of all, he had to have the balls to say to three cops, "No, you're going to take me out." I mean, who would do that? But like a person that's
not usually an Asian doctor.
Very few people, I think, would have done it in that instance.
Well, what was that scene?
They dragged him out. He injured himself, and at a time where people are fed up with the airlines. So what I'm trying to say is $5 million.
Yeah, well, I think there's another aspect to what you're saying, which is that normally when you have a lawsuit, you settle against what each side thinks they can likely make or lose at a trial. But in this case, United also has to weigh it against the PR disaster.
Well, I think
that
was the case with the Walmart accident as
even
well.
Even more than with Walmart. With Walmart, they don't want to look like they're not making good, but I don't think anybody thinks that a truck driver, because it happens in Walmart,
right,
there's something horrible about Walmart.
Yeah,
this was
true.
Like United Airlines policy. So I think they'd be ready to pay him more than they think they would lose at trial, because they really want it to go away, because it's bad for business.
Yeah, and they want to seem like, you know, they did the right thing by this guy.
What, why was he... But I saw a scene where he was walking up and down the aisle screaming and everything.
He got back on the plane.
Well,
like
he got
after
back
they,
after?
After they dragged him off, I guess they put him... He was at the front, check, and then he ran back on the plane, and then they got him back off again.
Now you remember the movie Soul Plane, where Kevin Hart sued the airline and created Soul Plane. I'm wondering whether there's going to be a Szechuan plane. And, you see, this is what we give you here at the Comedy Cellar Podcast. We give you pre-written...
The whole build-up so we can get that joke out. It's a good joke, though, Dave.
We give you pre-written shit as well as improv.
Sounds delicious.
And that's why this is the only game in town for your podcasting needs.
I think that... as an owner of bars who's dealt with these situations before, my heart goes out to United Airlines, although they were stupid, which is that you always have some overzealous guy who wants to kick some fucking ass who gets you in trouble as a bar owner.
Yeah, but the guy is already seated. They should have just said, all right, offer more money and somebody will volunteer to leave.
Yeah, of course. Or, you know what, like you said, most people, when you start to lift them physically, they won't resist. It's all right, you try, but it's the second that you see that you're in a full-blown brawl, you walk away from the guy and say, okay, you know...
Really do that because there still needs to be somebody getting off the plane.
No, you can do that.
Then you're rewarding, like, if your policy is this guy's got to go, then you got to follow through
with
it.
Maybe you need to get more people and lift him in a way. You can't hurt him. This happened to me downstairs, and the thing I had to settle with somebody, some guy I mean, I can't even tell the story because I'm so disgusted with it. But some guy just wanted to use the bathroom, and he wasn't a customer, and he used the bathroom, and then he wouldn't leave right away. And the door guys got like said, "You have to leave now." And he said, "You have to. I'm not leaving. You got to fucking take me out." So they're like, okay. And the guy's like bloodied. Now the guys, my guys, didn't hit him, but he bloodied himself just in the altar. I'm like, what the fuck is the matter with you guys? Just let him watch the fucking comedian.
Well, you know, I mean,
me, I would have been the opposite way. I would have been like, get him the hell out of here. Do whatever you have to do. I'd be really upset by that.
That like some guy pulls out a. It's happened to me. Some guy pulls out a cigarette, and the security guys are just dragging. I was like, why are you dragging this guy out? He's smoking. I was like, all right, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's illegal. I know.
Well, from their point of view, could it not be that they're thinking the boss doesn't allow this sort of behavior, and if I allow this sort of behavior,
it's never that. They know, and they've been taught. I always say, don't put your hands on anybody for any reason unless there's life or limb in the balance. I even tell them, I don't care if they don't want to pay the check. If somebody refuses to pay the check, let them go. Do not stop them. Not put your hands on them. They know that. I say, what if it's 10 people? Let them go. Don't touch anybody. But who goes into this kind of profession? Cops, but they want to kick some ass sometimes.
Yeah.
They see a green light, they think they got, and they get overzealous.
But they do usually ask first, sir, can you please put that out? Like they give them two chances or something, but then doesn't it then they don't just immediately go in and touch the guy, right? I mean,
no, but they escalate it when it's not necessary.
I see your point.
But I think in the end, it does come down to the policies. And apparently, some other airline has a much better policy where they just ask all the passengers. I think they have an app to tell them how much would it take to get you to leave the flight, and then whoever gets the lowest price.
Well, that's what they should have done instead of being cheapskates.
Which always works.
Yeah, and they might have to pay a couple $1,000.
No, but usually the lowest is always a few $100s.
But like, even if they have to pay a couple thousand, they have to.
Yeah.
You know, just to throw somebody out is just shitty. Even if the guy left voluntarily, it's just shitty customer service.
Well, it was also for their employees, too. They needed their employees to get to a flight in the morning in Louisville. So it's like all the airlines work with each other. Those four employees could have went on an American flight. It's out of Chicago. There's a million flights going out of there.
But who's
going
to
rush?
They could have
to go to Louisville. Called in sick. I mean, they would have to manage without the employees. It's not...
Right. Or it's 4 hours from Chicago. They could have rented a car. It was 8 o'clock at night.
Or pay somebody more money to get off the plane.
Yeah.
Here's a question that they said they had. They picked at random this Asian guy, but that within the random system, there's some other considerations, like they don't throw out
families
unaccompanied minors and so on and so forth. But I wonder whether they would ever throw, like racially speaking, if they would throw out a Muslim guy, because
so you think if that name pops up, they'll skip.
I think Muhammad. They say Muhammad can stay.
They'll skip to Dan Natterman. They're like, all right, Dan Natterman's going to go. Muhammad might.
That's the way it should be.
I think that they would have. I think throwing out a black guy would be tricky.
Tricky, yeah.
And I think throwing out a Muslim guy would be tricky.
But what if the guy's name is like Steve Brown and they think he's a white guy, and then all of a sudden, who's Steve Brown? He raises his hand, he's black. Then what do you go? Oh, no.
Just say, well, we wanted to see if you want a beverage. You know, and then you go on to the next guy.
It's true. It would be ugly throwing out anybody who might think that it would target.
But I think white and Asian are the ones that they figured, I guess, you can throw out without too much
repercussion. When did an Asian guy ever make trouble before?
Well, it's very rare.
What country was he from?
I believe Vietnam.
Yeah.
Oh. Or maybe he was half Vietnamese.
No, he was Vietnamese, yeah.
Full. He was Vietnamese.
I question anybody that wants to spend time in Louisville. I've been there twice, and it sucks. They hate everybody
there. Well, he's
there.
A very successful doctor from Louisville.
Nobody's a successful doctor in Louisville. Louisville stinks. Sorry, my uncle's from there, and he's a bag of crap.
I actually had a thing with an Asian customer one time who tried to sue me one time because we had tax on cover charge or something ridiculous. And then that wasn't it. He was arguing with somebody, and the manager spoke to him badly, and he filed a lawsuit against me.
Again, what was the lawsuit?
We settled it out of court.
But what would it be? Like, what would he sue you for if someone yelled at him?
Like $50,000 or something?
No, but what was the offense?
What was the offense?
Yeah.
That you taxed too much, you said?
I was like abuse, verbal. I don't know. You're right. Like, oh no. I think they He said he was humiliated in front of people. No.
Where do these people find lawyers? I work at a law firm, and I can't imagine. Okay, that's what I needed to know.
He was,
because I work at a firm, and I can't imagine anyone in my firm taking that case.
But the funny thing, his name was David Chin, and I settled with him for like, 20 free visits or something. And then years later, I needed to file a lawsuit against somebody who was really fucking with me, but I knew it was going to be a nuisance lawsuit, so I called this guy up.
Oh, that's smart.
I said, David.
Did he help you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. It's like an Aaron Brockovich that happened. This guy buried me in paperwork, so I figured. I don't know. Nobody watched that movie?
I did. I don't recall that scene.
Why? Nobody would.
Yeah.
I don't know why I recall every movie ever made.
Well, on a related note, by the way, speaking of any movie ever made, the next installment, the final installment of The Godfather.
Did you get the script?
I did receive the script.
And nobody wrote me back.
Oh, a Just Gals show.
Show.
Another Godfather movie?
You didn't get the script? I sent it to you on Monday.
Jim, have you seen The Godfather, the Just Gals Godfather?
No, but Artie always raves about it, Artie Lang.
Does he rave about it?
Yeah, he does.
How is Artie?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
Really?
I hear he beat the case. He's not going to do any jail.
Yeah, no, he's not going to jail.
I know it got pushed down to misdemeanors.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing.
It just seems to me that convict Artie in New Jersey would be tricky business indeed. Right. I mean, the man is a hero there.
He was a longshoreman, and his dad hasn't been alive in a long time, but probably still has connections.
Absolutely.
In the Lang family, so.
And he's so beloved.
He is beloved.
No, absolutely. He's like the mayor of Hoboken.
Maybe down south you'd get him on some charge or another, with...
Attell said he's been here a couple times during the weekends. You haven't seen him?
I saw him through the door, but I didn't get to talk to him.
Yeah.
He is just the nicest ever.
He is a great dude.
Sweetheart. That's why you want to make sure he's doing okay. It's a major bummer he can't get it together. It's bothersome. And he's really funny. Even when he's messed up, he's funny.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quick he is.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. He is a really gifted talent.
Yeah.
Above most. You prepared some questions for Jim.
Oh, well, I was curious to know, first of all, where your love of metal comes from and if it's at all related to your background in comedy.
Not really. I had two older brothers that were in the heavy metal. I was 12.
He likes
they
metal,
were 17.
You know?
So you drive around in a car and they just play that and you had no choice but to listen to it.
He does a metal podcast.
He likes metal. That's all, So like, why do I like strawberry?
So I just got into it as a kid, and you grew up in New Jersey, and you're strict Catholic, so sex is out of the question. So you like heavy metal and wrestling growing up. I got out of the wrestling phase at like 14 or 15.
What about you? There was other alternatives. There was Bruce. He's not metal.
Yeah, Bruce was all right. I mean, I learned to like him over the years. But, when you're a metalhead and Bruce was really big, born in the USA, you're like, no, I can't like that. I like more of the metal stuff.
Well, what kind of metal? Like the hair bands, like Poison? Skid Row?
But then he moved up.
Yeah, in that time in the 80s, you like that. If you grew up in New Jersey, everyone had long hair and,
We all grew, loved it. I grew up in Connecticut and we loved it quite a bit. There was a group of kids in our school that used to wear long, they used to have long hair. It was like a group of Jersey kids that lived in Connecticut. We had like an interesting school. We had like a group of kids that thought they were Southern. Used to drive around in pickup trucks and listen to like Skinner. Then we had
Skinner
a group.
Not metal.
No, but that's one group. Then we had another group. Like they tried to be like Jersey people. They had long hair.
Like Jersey.
And they had those Cinderella T-shirts or
and
whatever.
The Jews.
Not really. No. My town was a mixed bag. Some of them might have been, but no. I
have
so.
A question about metal because I used to say this in high school, but I think I was wrong, which is that the taste for metal doesn't wane as you get older. Normally, as you get older, you start like you have adult contemporary stations. Like your taste in music is supposed to become a little more mild.
I always tell little kids I see them in a show. I go, you realize you're gonna like heavy metal the rest of your life. You're 7 years old. You're in for life. You always go. You might when you hit your 30s, maybe you get married. You have a couple kids. You might veer away from it for a little while. But then when you get in your 40s, you're right back into it. You're like, wait a minute, I like that stuff when I was a kid.
You always like what you like when you were a kid.
No, but like you think of like somehow times to, like, if you look at the music that musicians go into old age homes and play for the people, it's somehow like, you know, calm, melodic, like Ricky. Yeah. It's now, like, at some point, for the new crop of people in old age homes, they're going to be like playing like Stairway to Heaven and
Suppose it'll be rap for the next generation that comes through.
It seems impossible.
You just tend to like what you liked. You know, your taste. My parents never got beyond Sinatra. You know, I mean, so because that was their, you know, and that kind of music.
Well, yeah, unless you keep up with music all the time,
you don't keep up because your taste frees at
a certain
point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, most people do not keep up with listening to new music all the time.
But I think something in the brain shuts off. Like, I think you get used to a certain type of music and you just kind of, your brain freezes there.
But there's also an energy and an attitude and a testosterone thing about metal, which you think might wear off. But it doesn't. I'm just observing.
No, it doesn't. Like, Metallica's playing at MetLife Stadium in like 2 weeks. They sold 60,000 tickets. It's sold out. They'll probably do another date there.
I don't think I can name you one Metallica song.
Well, of course you can.
What are they?
Like, Guns N' Roses did two shows at MetLife Stadium, so they sold like 120,000 tickets in 2 days last summer.
Do you consider them metal?
No, they're hard rock.
But the difference is like Billy Joel, who's what, 70 or 65, he can still sing his songs. It doesn't require necessarily a young man's voice to sing Billy Joel songs. But Metallica's going to have a tough time, I think, at 70.
Absolutely. They know that they're going to be able to do it to about 60, 61, 60. That's about
it. I don't even know how Lars would do all that drumming at his age now, right?
Well, that's the thing. The drummer is always the first one to go.
A catcher on a baseball team.
Like Piazza, they eventually put him at first base.
Right.
I remember listening to McCartney sing Let It Be a couple years ago. I don't know what it was for, and it wasn't very good.
He warbles. He has good days and bad days.
You know, it just seems to me so cruel. Like, it's bad enough age has to take your looks away.
Look at Tony Bennett.
You
got to
take
like
a guy's voice away.
Sounds good.
He still sounds like he ever did. What was that bullshit with Lady Gaga and Metallica? You must have been freaking out.
Well, yeah, they did the whole thing with the Grammys, but they didn't, you know. First of all, the woman that introduced Metallica and Lady Gaga didn't even mention Metallica.
Yeah, they got
it.
It
was a Metallica song. And they just said, hey, give it up for Lady Gaga, like it was like Metallica was a backing band. And then the mic wasn't on for the singer James Hetfield for like a minute. Like, how does that go on for a minute? Like, supposedly some guy kicked out a cord or something like that. It's like, what is this, the airplane movie where the guy pulled a cord out? And it went on for a minute where he had no vocals.
No, I remember. Yeah, that sucked. Very disrespectful.
It really
there's
was.
Metal, there's no. Is there any new metal? I guess metal's dead along with rock and roll.
No, I mean, there's still a lot of bands out there that sell a lot of tickets in the metal world.
No, but new metal bands.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I mean, my nephew's 17, 18. He's all into it, so, you know, he tells me about them.
Seems like all the music I hear is like, you know, these chicks singing songs written by some Swedish dude.
Where are you listening to stuff, though?
70s radio, obviously.
Yeah,
hits one on Sirius. Yeah, that's where you're going
to
hear.
Like, you know, in the 80s, even if you weren't into this shit, I wasn't listening to Cinderella, but I heard of them.
Listen, this is the thing about this thing.
It was part of the zeitgeist, if I may use that term.
Yeah, this is the thing about 2017. You don't have to listen or ever hear anything other than exactly what you want to hear anymore.
True.
It's like you used to be a captive audience to a certain extent, to every genre, everything. You had to put, and then sometimes you'd be exposed to it and like it. Now, it's everything segregated. I'm sure you never turn on a station where there's any risk of you hearing a metal song.
Do you have satellite radio? You
no,
have Sirius?
I listen to classic rock stations, and they play the old metal.
Do you have Sirius?
No, I don't have Sirius.
Oh, all right.
You not be on Sirius. You have a show on Sirius.
They didn't give it to you. It's a subscription for free. That's part of the
deal.
I could ask for that.
We didn't get it free. But it's like, but you still things that are popular, you'll still hear of. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I've heard of it.
I mean, if you listen to him talk, you can tell he doesn't listen. He says, now when this young man, Billy Joel, sings, it's even the cadence of your voice doesn't sound like you ever liked metal in any way.
Well, no, I certainly like a lot of what AC/DC stuff. And
never really into metal. I like Led Zeppelin a lot, but they're not really considered metal, right?
No, they're hard rock. Black Sabbath was metal. Yeah. Deep Purple was metal. But
I was a hairband guy.
Richie Blackmore is an amazing guitar player.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, but I love a good Skid Row.
I liked Rainbow. He went to Rainbow, right?
Yeah, yeah, Rainbow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was like one of those pop metal guys. I like White
Snake,
the hair
and
I liked
band,
all
that.
Shit. And then, you know, when they got real metal, but I like listening to you and like Eddie Trunk talk about metal. Like, I liked your show. I don't know, for some reason it was fascinating because it was a whole other world. And he's so knowledgeable about a gym, I'm pointing to. It's
There's
like,
no reason to know all that stuff either.
I know, but it's cool. Well,
you love
but,
it.
But that was another thing, like growing up, like strict Catholic, not masturbating, not getting laid. So I would just listen to this stuff, and I'd have the album in my room, and I would study all the liner notes and knew every guy that was in a band. And when this guy left, this guy was in there, because I had nothing else going on a Friday or Saturday night. So that's how I... Eddie Trunk had the same childhood.
In high school,
I didn't know him then, but he's like, yeah, I was. I didn't go to the parties either. I'm like, yeah.
Well,
why
didn't you go to the parties, Jim?
I was...
Yes, first of all, you're a good-looking man. That's number one.
I had a bad mustache when I was like a 3.5 in high school.
But you went to high school in Jersey.
I did, and then
you couldn't have been the only mustache.
Well, then I went to a private school in Florida. We moved to Florida, so I had no friends. Oh, it was like
Are you still a Catholic?
No.
No.
No, but my son's got to do, like, he's going to be in first grade next year, and this whole thing, does he go to, like, CCD, it's called. If you don't go to public school, then you have to take, like, an hour class of religion once a week for 8 years.
CCD until your confirmation.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to do that. So I'm on the fence about that. All my neighbors, the kids are going to go, like, you have to. I'm like, well, I could tell him the Ten Commandments. He just learned the Ten Commandments. I'm like, just don't be a dick. There you go. There's your religion.
Well, is the baby mama Catholic?
You're right about that.
Baby mama doesn't care.
You're right.
She's not in the picture.
So it's
with
you.
That
it's
stuff.
You. That's you. Still have some, perhaps lingering or not. You have no lingering kind of sense of Catholicism.
No, I bought into that for a long time. It screwed me up for a while.
I think
Catholics are very resentful very often of Catholicism.
Yeah, because you grow up feeling like you're just the biggest piece of shit, and
well,
then you realize,
you
wait a minute, I'm not.
Do you grow up believing that you're going to go to hell?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that's why I didn't touch my dick till I was 21.
Because they're going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
And you can't get those years back, Jim.
You can't get them back. I know. There was a lot of hot chicks in high school that wanted me, but I was like, I don't want to go to hell.
Preferred church to temple because of that. It seemed much more entertaining that you would burn
fire
in hell.
Fire and brimstone.
Yeah.
And brimstone, you know, I've never been in a fire, so although it sounds scary... It wouldn't scare me nearly as much as if they said it was an eternity of gastroenteritis. Because that I have experienced, and you sure can bet that I would not touch my penis if I thought that was at stake.
Oh my God!
At Passover, we read the the story of Passover for
can you
the
imagine
Seder.
An eternity of food poisoning? He's going to the
and we get to the part about the he was there. We get the part about the burning bush.
Yeah.
And how it burns, but it doesn't. I mean, there's a flame, but the bush doesn't burn. And my son's like, that's like Johnny the Human Torch from Fantastic Four. He says, the Human Torch is God. Johnny Storm is God. And man, he's like, now he's convinced that the Johnny Storm from the Fantastic Four is God because he can burn, but he doesn't actually burn down. I don't know. That was pretty clever.
Well, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Noam,
and Manny is also 3, by the way.
He's 3, yeah.
Yeah, oh, Noam obviously is very proud of...
What if I stumbled upon here?
Well, this is Noam, you can sit down. Steven?
Take mine if you want.
I mean, no, this is Ben Bailey. You're not obligated to join us, by the way, Ben.
I'm happy to. But what are we doing?
Speaking of heavy metal, Ben...
I feel badly. I just chased the guy out.
No, don't worry about him. He's our booker who's not technically part of the show.
He's expendable.
Okay, cool.
Ben decides to all of a sudden be in a Black Sabbath tribute band at a later age in life. And all of a sudden, he's like, and he knows everything about Black Sabbath. I went over to his house and watched him play. It was awesome.
Thanks, dude.
I want to go to that thing.
It was midlife crisis, for
But you
sure.
weren't into it when you were a kid, right? Well, you weren't really
I wasn't into it, but I wasn't allowed to listen to it. My buddy, who's actually the drummer in my Sabbath band, he got into it, and his mom and my mom are good friends. And my mother said, no Ozzy Osbourne in the house.
This, by the way, is comedian and Cash Cab host Ben Bailey.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, I just want to make sure our audience knows.
Hello, Ben.
All my favorite people are here.
Is that because of the eating rats? Or what was he?
I don't know. She thought he was a devil worshiper.
He was, he had an upside down cross on one of his records. The first one, he had a cross, and then he bit the bat's head off and the dove. So, like, in the early 80s, he was like the devil.
Imagine
he pissed on the Alamo and got arrested.
Imagine if she had known about him writing his name in shit on the wall of a Beverly Hills hotel. His own, by the way.
Yeah.
Didn't he try to kill his wife?
Yeah, that was an incident.
Maybe.
Well, he sort of half-tried
right?
to kill.
But they're still together. Like,
they're still together for like 40 years.
Sharon was like, it's all right. It's fucking
Oh, that was Sharon he tried to
kill? Sharon was like, you know what? I could kick your ass, Ozzy, if I had to.
You've met him, right? You must have met him.
Yeah.
Is together?
Yeah. He, you know, when he was on that show, he walks around like a bumbling fool when he was on the Osbournes. But no, he's got it together and
you
stuff.
You feel like that was played up some?
Maybe, but supposedly he was on this weird medication. They thought he had Parkinson's or something, so they had him on all this crazy medication when he really didn't have it when he was going through that stuff too. I met him too.
I met him at. I feel like I'm bragging. I met him at after the Daytime Emmys. He was there because Sharon was nominated, and. I thought he was, like, very together, man. He was just talking to me about the album, 13, which was new at the time. And
it got good reviews.
It was their first number one album in the U.S.
Ever, yeah.
Ever. And I thought he was, like, very clear, but he was clean and sober then.
Ben, did you grow up Catholic?
No.
Okay, I was thinking.
Are you from Jersey, Ben, as well?
When did you
I'm not from Jersey, but that's basically where I grew up.
When did you first start masturbating?
How are those things related?
Well, we were talking about that earlier.
You guys were talking about that before? Jeez, I don't know. As soon as I've...
Right
when I popped out. No, I don't know, man. Right. Maybe 12?
All right, see, I thought you were Irish Catholic. You had that whole thing going on,
12,
too.
13?
He was 21.
He was 20, can you believe it?
You were 21 when you started masturbating?
Yeah.
How are you not like a Nobel Prize winner? All that time he would have had.
Why did you not invent something?
If I had been able to focus it on anything else.
No, but get this, Ben. He was banging before that.
Oh, what? Is that right?
Yeah, I was banging before that.
Oh, it's just because you're such a stud, you were getting laid.
How was that
one
possible?
Day you're like, oh, wait, I could do this to myself.
I didn't know. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I've never heard anything like that before. Yeah.
Yeah, it was for like right before
you,
I was 18.
You would have, if you were in my high school, you would have cleaned up. I mean, the competition was not exactly stiff. But I don't know what the guys looked like in your high school. But Jim, a young, I mean, he's a good-looking man, but certainly a young Jim Florentine.
Jim Florentine has that voice.
With the voice?
When he was 12, he had that voice.
Yeah, but it was cracking like I had a frog on my throat, and that was weird. You know, you're weird and... You're an introvert. And you're
but the competition was me.
The only thing I knew about growing up was pro wrestling, and heavy metal. So if I started talking to some hot chick about, I think Judas Priest might be breaking up, she's going to be like, get this weirdo away from me. And that's all I knew.
She's like, Rob Halford's gay.
Yeah, I'm like, no, he's not. I wanted to, I'd be so mad at him. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Like the girls always like those type of guys.
Jim, you were a DJ at a strip club, weren't you?
Yeah.
I'm really thinking about this not masturbating thing. And I
don't believe it for one second.
Why would I lie about it? I wish I...
You're 17, and you're like Pryor says, you're harder than times at 29, right? Like you're really,
harder than what?
Harder than times at 29. That's what Pryor says.
Times at 29.
Yeah, my dick was harder than times in 29 during the Depression.
Oh, those were hard times. Yeah, those were hard times.
So not my joke. It's Richard Pryor.
What with the crash?
Is this an exercise in self-discipline? Like you want to. Do it, but you're like, no, I can't do this.
No, I just blocked it out. Like, it wasn't even a disguise. I mean, I would look through dirty magazines. We'd always get them at like garage sales. We'd go in the woods and we'd look at all the Hustler and Penthouse. And me and my friend, no, I'm not masturbate. You know, me and my buddies and stuff. But the first girlfriend I had sex with her first time. We put a condom on. I came in and I didn't even know what the hell it was. It freaked me out. I went in the bathroom.
You didn't know what the liquid was?
Amazing.
No, I didn't. And then once I started having sex, I'm like, this is amazing. And then
it sucked living back then in a way because like I had the same. Not the sex, but I, you know, was masturbating. And then, like, I remember, like, when I was 15 or 16, nobody told us anything. I thought I was diseased. And I called up,
because you ejaculated?
Yeah. And I was like, geez, I got to stop doing it.
You called a hotline?
And I'm Jewish. Like, and there was no Catholic guilt or anything. I called a hotline for masturbation to see if there was a problem with me.
There was a hotline for masturbation?
Yeah.
I came and I think I'm dying hotline.
You didn't know the facts of life at 15?
No, my dad just told me, never in the ass and hide your wallet. That's all he ever said.
I think the fact that, well, according to Reader,
I can understand the wallet, but why not in the ass?
He was very uptight.
According to Reader Rutner,
nobody told me anything. I mean, we had to go to see pornos in the movie theater.
Yeah, no one. My parents changed my answer.
I knew what it was, but
I have to change my answer. It was earlier. I remembered.
Yeah,
I remembered a time. I think I was more like 9.
I do when
not 12, 9.
Before you could ejaculate,
you know that
right?
Sherwood's movie theater on Route 9?
The first time I figured out that I could.
Well, the first time anything ever came out for me was 17, because I had a very late adolescence.
So you would do it, but nothing would come out?
Nothing would come out, but you know, but shame. But
like a just a little shame.
That still isn't there. Still a little bit of shame in it now.
A little sadness.
I thought that.
It came out
because
about
I had taken. Unlike you, I had paid attention in ninth grade health class. But I thought that, and I knew that, you know.
How do you know Jim didn't? Oh, because
he didn't know what came out.
Maybe he didn't have health class.
But I thought.
He had heavy metal 101. Yeah, I did.
I assume that it started off like a little came out, then a little bit more, you know, as you develop.
You'd just be coming for days on end.
But like puberty is gradual. You get a little bit of hair, you get a little bit more hair. But ejaculation, it's like an on-off switch, on-off. it's like
is that Seinfeld's repair a car.
But it's like it came all at once. Like all of a sudden, one day nothing came out, and then the next day a full load came.
A full.
So that was a surprise to me, but I knew what it was.
Did you call the masturbation hotline?
No, I knew exactly.
It was busy.
Dave, I
have a story of my own. You're not going to believe this.
It's sad in a way. Like I think I
got it from you.
I would prefer my kids grow up. Like now, by the time they're 10, they're probably going to see full blown, hardcore intercourse.
Yeah.
Like on the internet, there's no way to keep it from them. Just no way. And that's not good. I'm not happy about that. And especially my daughter, I don't want
to. You really think there's no way at all to keep it from them?
No, because
by the time they're 10.
All they got to do is go over to that one friend's house.
No, all you need is one friend, yeah.
I knew things were different when I was at Disney World, and I walked up to this like podium thing, or it was Epcot Center. I walked up to this like podium thing with TV screens in it, and there was just hardcore anal going on one of the screens. A kid had hacked the thing and just put this video on replay.
Disney.
And there was like this level 4 alert through the park.
How long did you watch for?
Until the police came. Oh, this is fun. I got to go around the corner and tell stories, man. I didn't mean to crash.
No,
are
you kidding? No.
I'm coming over to that show.
Okay, cool.
I'm doing it next month.
I had my friend, he had one magazine, and we would just, every time, we would look at that same damn magazine. That's all we had was his one magazine.
Yeah, that's practice. Good practice for marriage.
But, you know, times have changed, obviously. So,
I don't like it.
So, I mean, basically, us three. No, did your parents talk to you about sex? Did you know?
I knew it all.
See, us out of three out of four had no idea. Our parents didn't say anything. We were basically on our own. All me, you, and Dave.
Yeah, just ninth grade health class, you know.
Yeah, but that's not helpful.
With Pete Sampieri.
And that ninth grade health class is not going to tell you about masturbation. They just will skip it.
No, well, they told Mr. Jangle told us about
masturbation.
Mr. Jangle told us about masturbation.
Nobody told
us.
That's
what they call Mr. Jangle, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they brought in some guy when we were in sixth grade to teach us about sex, and he said, I'll never forget it because it really messed me up, that the penis had to get close enough to the vagina. Close enough. So then I started hugging like my mom or other girls like with my, like away because I was afraid I was going to get them pregnant. Because he only said it had to get close enough. And that messed me up. If he had just said you got to put it inside, it would have been really helpful.
I wouldn't have believed it, by the way.
That's weird, because Dave just gave me a close hug like an hour ago when I first saw him.
We know that children are reaching puberty earlier and earlier now. And one of the more credible theories as to why is that because kids are seeing so much sexual content so much earlier, it's activating puberty earlier.
And it makes sense. I mean, even if you're a kid and you're watching, like, you know, we used to watch the Dick Van Dyke Show. Certainly they were sleeping in separate beds. Now you watch the Big Bang Theory, and any kid would watch the Big Bang. It's on at 8 o'clock at night. It's technically a family show, and all they do is talk about coitus and sex.
No, it's true. There's a couple bands.
I mean, I love it.
There's a couple rock bands that I got my son into. My son's into the music, too, and they got girl lead singers, and he whipped his penis out. He's like, Dad, look how big my penis is. It gets really big when I watch these girls. So, and that didn't happen when I was growing. Like, maybe I got an erection looking at a dirty magazine, but there was nothing visual to watch.
I remember as a kid, the older kid.
We were watching Happy Days as a family in front of the TV. Right. And
maybe
all the family
masturbate
and stuff
to
like
Pinky
that.
Tuscadero.
That was hot. Yeah, she was.
She used to babysit me.
What?
Roz Kelly.
I heard she's crazy.
Yeah, but she was a waitress at my father's place.
Oh, is that right?
And she babysat me. Just
I don't know if I discussed this on a previous episode,
so
but when I was really young and the older kids were talking about having big penises, I would be like, I wouldn't admit that I didn't know why that was important. I would sort of play along, like, yeah, I got a big penis too. But I was like, why would you want a big penis?
I don't remember anybody saying that.
Because I just thought a penis was something you aimed urine with. Those are two things I didn't know why they were important: oil and big penises. But I knew the adults thought it was very important.
All right. Anyway, Jim, thank you for sharing. The hour is up. And you want to give your like Twitter thing?
Yeah, I got a podcast, Comedy Metal Midgets.
On Riotcast, right?
Yeah, it's on Riotcast.
We're on the same
every
network.
Monday. Yeah, and then I have a show on Ozzy's Boneyard on Sirius every Thursday from 5 to 7. It's a heavy, hard rock show.
Oh, what's your take on the Kevin Brennan Riotcast debacle?
I love Kevin, but he's a maniac.
He's a maniac. I love him too.
No, the thing with podcasts is you got to be patient. There's not going to be money in the beginning. I've been doing this since 2011. I just started making money recently, whatever. You just got to keep doing it and doing it and be patient.
He doesn't understand that.
I know. Well, that's what you have to do.
If he uses the word paywall one more time, I'm going to punch him in the face.
It's like when you do comedy, you're not going to start making $500 a night when you're doing gigs. You're going to make $25, $10 free.
My very first time I ever got paid was with Jim. I don't know if you remember. It was like in 1995. And we did a show in Jersey, but the show got canceled, but we both got like $25. So you don't remember. That was the first time I ever got paid to do comedy, although I didn't do any comedy.
But Kevin did actually was worse because he started just asking the fans to send him money.
Yeah.
And keeping 100% of it, not sharing it with the network or with Lenny.
Right. He was like, you can be in the audience if you give me $250.
Yeah, and I own the studio, right? So I'm like, and I don't get any money for it. I'm like, well, he's fucking selling access to the studio. Maybe he should share it with everybody. Anyway.
It's just odd to be in show business for 30 years and not know how it works yet. Like that it takes time to grow a podcast.
Yes, but he's also, as we all are, we're not spring chickens anymore. So
he's always been like that.
The desperation starts to sink in, I suppose.
No. He's always been like that, but he is. There's nobody funnier, right? I mean,
he's amazing.
Nobody funnier is a strong statement. He's
pretty good.
He's quite funny.
He is so Kevin Brennan. He's not derivative of anybody. He's so unique, and that's, I think we all respect that the most. Someone who's just like,
I respect consistency. I did a show Monday, so I told him I like consistency. He's been a dick since the day I've met him.
He's
like never.
What's the Sarah Silverman story you told me?
When they were. He took her virginity, Sarah Silverman's virginity, and when she was just a young, naive kid, she thought Kevin was her boyfriend, and she's like, you really shouldn't talk to your girlfriend like that, and he goes, you're not my fucking girlfriend, you dumb cunt. And so then 30 years later, she's writing her book, and she emails Kevin and goes, hey, do you mind if I tell that story about, when he said that to me? He goes, I don't give a shit what you do, you dumb cunt. And that book would have helped him. Like, he's like, fuck, right. Who do I care? Like, gotta respect it.
All right, Dan, you want to say goodnight?
Well, also, you can see David and I and The Godfather
and
on
Gnome, and Gnome.
Can you actually do me a favor?
May 9th.
Can you? I asked Dave. There's certain lines. It's not just you. Everybody that need to be delivered as the movie.
It's
that,
so
that's
frustrating.
Part
sometimes.
Of what's funny about them is just that everybody knows the movie.
Unfortunately, I'm not the crazy Godfather maniac that.
But if he puts an asterisk on the three or four lines, require, will you?
Of course, I'm a team player. Dave knows when he tells me to do something, I do it.
Well, you can't go, Mo, you don't come to Las Vegas and talk to a man like me. You got to say, Mo.
He's not going
to
do that line.
Well, no,
that's
I'm saying,
Greg
but example,
have
you
to
have
him.
To say it the way it is. It's the Godfather.
I do what I'm instructed to do by Dave Juskow.
but Dave, he
doesn't tell me to do anything differently than I've been doing, so I don't.
Sometimes Dave is not the best director because Dave wants to be liked.
Well, Dave, you have.
I don't want to make the comics
well,
angry.
Then you have my permission to tell me if you need a line delivered.
But he fumes after. Fuming after
these
shows.
There's only a couple times where I've asked you to do it, and you always forget.
No,
so.
Well. But again,
it's
I say.
Better when we gang up.
Again, I say I'm not a nutty Godfather fan. I enjoyed the movie when I saw it many years ago. I prefer Goodfellas, to be quite honest.
I was starring in a parody of The Godfather. Five different chapters of it. I might sit down and watch The Godfather.
You might.
Just to familiarize.
You might. Yeah. But if you were,
I just might.
You might, but you probably wouldn't, because nobody else is.
You might.
And the fact is, we're not. We're being paid a very, very small amount.
Oh, really, wow. Dan?
So now we're back to the Kevin Brennan stuff.
Yeah,
he's not getting money.
I mean, we come and we do it.
My
we're happy to do it for Dave.
You for saying that.
We're happy to do it for Dave, but
my father would have said. If you're going to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But if you do it, you do it right. You don't do it less right because you're not getting paid
it's
more.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
We have a good time, but I'm not going to, watch The Godfather especially to for this. If
Jews. Okay.
If you,
thank you, Mark.
It's nothing to do with
it. I'll say it because Jim is thinking it. Good night, everybody. Oh,
Jim is not thinking it. Jim is so not racist, he didn't even cross his mind.
I'm stopping it.
You can stop it, but I'm continuing the discussion off mic.